We're turning in our Bible tonight to Habakkuk. It's been a beautiful day, hasn't it? And I hope you've taken the opportunity to encourage your class to get the full-length book, Issues of Life, answered from the Bible. I think one of the great things in this book, as they've done at the end of each chapter, you've noticed they've put the Bible memory work at the end of each chapter. And that's a great, particularly, I suppose we should do it all the way through, but I'm thinking particularly as young people. And could we not encourage people to learn all those Bible verses for a week, and particularly young people, reward them for it, encourage them to learn those Bible verses? It'd be a great help to them. Issues of life answered from the Bible. You know, the pastor says often when he's speaking to our young people, he says the big decisions in life you have to decide before the question comes up. You know, these things in life, and these issues that we're talking about this week is one such like that, and we've enjoyed all these. Is the Bible the Word of God? Is there a place of torment? Does character count? All of them. But here we are this week in Habakkuk chapter 2. What does the Lord say about liquor? What does the Lord say about liquor? Big question, isn't it? I tell you, Christian people, sometimes Christians want to squabble and squawk with one another about what's acceptable and what offends somebody in their Christian liberty and all that business. But non-Christians know how Christians should live. You ever notice that? If you want to know how a Christian should live and what a Christian should do, ask someone who doesn't profess to be a Christian. They'll tell you. And they know that there are things that Christian people shouldn't be a part of, and places they shouldn't go, and things they shouldn't be involved with. And this is the lesson this week, such as one of them. And the pastor says, as he says often, people know where our church stands on these issues. And I hope they know if they know you're associated with the Temple Baptist Church, then I hope that they know where you stand on this issue of what does the Lord say about liquor. But this Sunday school lesson will give people some real ammunition, if you will, from God's Word. Let's see what the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2. Of course, we had the series of lessons on Habakkuk, Lord, Sin, Revival. And here we are in the second chapter. And you remember the five woes that are being pronounced on Babylon. And the fourth one in verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. This judgment is pronounced here in Habakkuk on the nation of Babylon. And one of the judgments is because they were a drunken people. And God says, woe unto you for giving your neighbor drink. Standing for the Lord, as the lesson points out here, standing for the Lord usually means you're going against the tide. You're working against the grain. Sometimes you see things and you read about things and things become fads or popular, and you can almost count in this day and age, if it's popular and if it's accepted, then there's probably something wrong with it. That's because following Christ in your life is not what the majority is doing. That's not the popular thing to do. And this thing of alcohol, God's opinion, what God says about it, his opinion is the only one that matters, and what he says about it is not going to be accepted probably with the popular crowd. We spend a lot of time, Christians spend a lot of time trying to justify conveniences in their life and things that they enjoy doing. I believe we would agree with the fact that Christian people are a little bit careless, I believe, about how they treat sin. And I think this is one of those topics that we're a little bit careless about. I have not personally, I mean, no one that I loved has been involved in this particular problem. I've not lost any loved ones to a drunken driver. But sometimes when I'm hearing somebody tell a joke about there's these two drunks that did this or somebody did, I think, you know, if I'd lost a loved one, I'm not sure I'd think that's a very funny joke. And, you know, God says in Proverbs, the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. And I think I'm convicted in my own life as I read and study this lesson. I'm convicted in my own life at how carelessly I treat what God calls sin and what he clearly calls sin in his word. And this is one of those subjects. What does the Lord say about liquor? I don't think there's any doubt that I have young children. And I'm telling them what's right and what's wrong, trying to tell them what God's Word says, and alcohol's bad and beer's bad, and you never touch that. And then the commercial comes on television. Of course, always the funniest, most attractive commercials. And I know how hypocritical we are often by by partaking in that, seeing that. And I'm convicted. I want the Lord, as I'm thinking about the young couples that I have an opportunity to see on Sunday, and I want it to affect things that happen in my life. I'm not particularly worried about me being tempted to go out and get drunk, although none of us are immune to what the devil's going to throw at us. That's not been a particular temptation in my life. But how I approach it and what I think about it and how I react to it, I think, is very important in God's eyes. What does the Lord say about liquor? Now, let's look quickly at these three things that you'll get from the lesson right here. And then you're thinking about who you're speaking to on Sunday and who you're teaching this Bible lesson to. And whether it be the young people in the high school classes or right on through the senior saints, and what application we're going to make as we talk about what the Lord says about liquor. First, we see on your lesson here that drinking alcohol causes suffering. Drinking alcohol causes suffering. And you're going to read through this lesson, you're going to read all the statistics about it. And you can, there's more information out there than you can ever digest in one sitting. But here's the numbers, and you'll see them, and you'll read through them. $70 billion a year, they say, we lose in America for alcohol-related things in the workplace. Every time someone takes a drink, they shorten their life by 20 minutes. 20 or 25,000 people killed every year. 750,000 people injured. Maybe 17 million alcoholics in America, many of them young people, many of them on our college campuses. Thinking about Christian volunteers and these ministries we have on the college campuses. What does God's Word say about liquor? One person every 21 minutes killed in an alcohol-related accident. That's staggering, isn't it? I mean, before we leave here tonight, two or three people killed in an alcohol-related accident. You'll read all the numbers. 83% of fire fatalities, over 50% of drownings, 80% of suicides, 40% of fatal industrial accidents, 86% of murders, 65% of child abuse cases, alcohol-related. I was talking to a doctor a few weeks ago from Kentucky, and works with infants hospital, and she says they average in their hospital about one a month, one fatality a month from child abuse, and many of those alcohol-related. Tragic thing, isn't it? God's Word says that alcohol causes suffering. You say, well, I don't drink, and well, you're still going to be affected. They estimate that probably one out of every two people in America is going to be involved sometime in their life in an accident that involves alcohol, where someone else was drinking. They weren't necessarily drinking, but someone else. They say at particular times of day, maybe as many as 30% of the drivers on a road at particular times may be under the influence of alcohol. Alcohol causes suffering. And you'll read, you may know, you may have some personal testimony that you're thinking about and sharing. Pastor gives a couple illustrations in the reading material about accidents that he's seen, been a part of, families that he's had in his churches ministered to who suffered loss of life due to alcohol-related accidents. Alcohol causes suffering. God's against it because it causes suffering. You see the quote at the bottom of the page from William Gladstone. And a beggar's companion, a wife's woe, and children's sorrow. Alcohol causes suffering and causes sorrow. It makes me curious why our government's working so hard to ban saccharin and cigarettes. I don't think people should smoke. I don't think cigarettes are a good testimony for a Christian. But it's not caused the damage that alcohol has. But you know, it's all money related. But God's Word says that alcohol causes suffering, and God's against it because it causes suffering. Secondly, you see, drinking alcohol causes shame. Back here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, we read verse 15. Let's drop down to verse 16. The Bible says, "Thou art filled with shame for glory." Thou art filled shame. Excuse me, let me try that again. Verse 16, "Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory." Shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. Drinking alcohol causes shame. Almost always alcohol is related or linked to an immoral lifestyle. You want to take your class to Hosea chapter 4, and you see verses 6 through 11. I won't take time this evening to read the whole passage, but you see down when we get down to verse 10, "For they shall eat and not have enough, they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord." Verse 11, "Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Isaiah 28, verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Drinking alcohol causes shame. Thousands and thousands of people have sacrificed peace of mind and moral purity while under the influence of alcohol. Thousands and thousands under the influence. Alcohol, drinking alcohol causes shame. Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 20, that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Drinking alcohol causes shame. And then thirdly, not only does it cause suffering and causes shame, but here's the hopeful part. Drinking alcohol can be stopped. Drinking alcohol can be stopped. And that's the hope that you want to give in your class. The Lord Jesus Christ can enable a person. You say, I can't do it in my own strength. No, none of us can do it in our own strength. It's day to day. Every victory. See the quote right there? You've heard the pastor say it often. Every victory in life is won by living consciously in the presence of Jesus Christ. Every victory. Now, this may not be your particular battle, but every victory is won by living consciously in the presence of Jesus Christ. Paul said it like Paul said simply, I die daily. He says, there's things that I know I should do and I can't do, and things I'm not supposed to do, and that's what I end up doing. He says, I die daily. I have to crucify myself every day and follow Christ, follow the Lord. 1 John 1:9, written to Christians, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of my young children asked me the other day, he says, how many times do you have to be saved? I said, you can only be saved one time. I said, if you really get saved, that takes care of it forever. And he thought for a moment and says, yeah, but he says, I sin sometimes. I want to say, you sin a lot. No, I said, but that's what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. Aren't you grateful that God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins? And not just forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you may be talking to people this weekend, this Sunday, that this is a real battle in their life. What does God's Word say about alcohol? And they're battling it. And you can give them the hope and the assurance that Christ is not only interested in what's going on in their life, He's not just interested in saving them and taking them to heaven someday, He's interested in them living a victorious Christian life right here and right now. And how can they do that? By giving themselves to God each day. You must turn to the Lord for victory. What does the Lord say about liquor and alcohol? And that's the lesson. Lots of things, and you'll adapt it to who you're teaching this Sunday. What about young people? Well, should we not encourage every young people never to put alcohol to their lips? Never to touch it? Is there a greater testimony in this regard than for someone to be able to say, I've never touched a drop of alcohol? See, if you never take that first drink, it can never cause suffering, can never cause shame. Just never take that first drink. Well, you're going to be speaking to people who they're past that. You know, the devil's gotten in their life somewhere and they're past that point. Then what do you say to them? Jesus Christ, take you right from where you are right now. Make the commitment right now. Make the covenant right now. So you'll have people in your class Sunday that are new to our church, maybe just been saved recently. And you have an opportunity to say to them, you need to go home. Get it out of your icebox today. Get rid of it. Get out of the cabinet today. Get rid of it. Because it's not something that honors Christ. What does the Lord say about liquor? And let's be bold, because God's Word is bold about it, as we declare exactly what God's Word says and the truth of God's Word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this good day that you've given us, a beautiful day that we've enjoyed. Lord, we're thankful for your Word, and we're thankful that it shows us and tells us and directs us exactly how to live. And the devil's fighting on every hand, Lord, and this is one of those areas that he's trying to get a foothold in people's lives to cause so much shame and heartache and misery. And I pray that you'll help us to proclaim boldly what your Word says. And as we talk this week, may we share the Scripture and people's hearts be touched and convicted. And we pray especially for our country, the leaders of our country, as much going on around the world. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.